FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere. Somewhere. I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. This is a special day, a really special day. We're going to have some fun today. Mitchell Moat is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Mitchell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
You Thank you.
Brought your buddy with you.
I do. I have the weatherman.
The weatherman, Dwayne Trail.
Dwayne, the weatherman Trail, yes.
Now, Dwayne, it's good to have you back, by the way.
It's nice to be back, Bart.
Have you been going to any more of these woolly worm events like you did last year?
Actually, I've not been to another one, not been back there. But
one was about all you could
take.
Yeah, you got all the information you needed.
Absolutely.
That sounds good. Have you been capturing a lot of these critters?
I've been capturing. I've got a few here for us to watch and look at this morning, and we're going to let them tell us what winter weather this season is going to be like.
All righty. So for the brave at heart, get your pencils handy. And Dwayne is going to fill us in. What's that growling sound I hear? Is that a woolly worm I'm hearing?
It could be. There are a few that I've collected to bring today. Actually, Bart, I've been seeing woolly worms crawling about for a number of weeks. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw my first one a little in advance of what is normal for the year. But I've seen several crawling about different places around the county. I would assume other folks have seen them too.
And then we've been measuring the fogs in August, trying to keep track of those. And what is it with the spider web? We're looking at those and just all sorts of things. And Dwayne has taken the time to put all of these things together, and keep in mind, this is not a generic forecast. These are woolly worms in this area, fogs in this area, so this is local. And what have you found this time?
Well, Bart, if you look around again, you see lots of woolly worms crawling around, and there are a number of weather lore predictors that we have had handed down from one generation to the next, and these seem to fascinate people. But the one of all of that large number of weather predictors, if you will, that seems to get the most attention is about the woolly worm. And the woolly worm is the one that everybody seems to go to when they want to give a prediction or talk about winter weather. But there are a number of others that we hear people talk about. We hear people talk about the fact that if you have a large number of berries on trees, such as holly and dogwood, that is an indication of a colder winter to come. And I took the liberty of bringing a small branch from a nandina that is just loaded with berries this year. And as I have been out over the last few weeks, I've noticed a lot of trees and plants with what to me seem like an excess crop of berries. Also, nut trees seem to be an indicator for lots of people when they talk about winter weather and what is to come. The hickory nuts, the acorns that you find in woods, and this year in particular, walnuts. I've seen a number of walnut trees that seem to have a much larger crop than what is normal. And a lot of people say, well, if you have a heavy walnut crop or if there's a heavy nut crop, then that's an indication that winter weather will be bad.
You know, Dwayne, we've had several folks over the last few weeks call the extension office, you know, looking for maybe potential buyers for walnuts because their walnut trees have had a good crop,
right,
or a very, well, an exceptional crop this year. So I think that's relatively widespread across the county. It seems to be that the walnuts were prolific.
one of the things that has caused me to think more this season, I believe, is the fact that we haven't had that first killing frost yet.
Not yet.
In fact, we've not had but just a couple of light frost, which to me didn't seem that they hurt anything at all.
Oh, no, their tomatoes survived the frost that we've had. At least they did rock well anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, the average date for the first killing frost in the fall for this county is October 22nd. We're past that date, of course, and haven't had the first hard freeze yet. And if we look back over records, statistically, there's only a 10% chance that that will occur after November 4th. So we don't have very long, if we're going to stay within that record, to have that first killing frost. And Bart, that might happen over the next week or so, given the temperature predictions that we hear on the news today.
I was expecting it earlier. I mean, we'd had some cool nights, but not cool enough, evidently.
Well, they're talking about an 18 degree drop in temperature tomorrow, another 10 degrees on Saturday. So we're going to have some sweaters, jackets, sleeves when we go out over the next few days.
So we're talking about some serious changes in weather.
Absolutely, and we could see in the next week that first hard freeze.
Well, you know, there's probably, what, a better than 90% chance it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Dwayne, we already have a folklore fan who has a comment, and let's grab that real quick.
Okay, good.
Good morning. How are you today?
Is that me?
That is you.
Hey, Bart, you know who this is.
Absolutely. It's Bill Hall, the weatherman.
Yes, sir. Hey, listen, Dwayne, on them woolly worms now. Ordinarily, a woolly worm is amber in color, a kind of an orange. I'm too close to radio. Ordinarily, they're orange in color. The way that I've heard now, Wayne, back from years and years ago, let me turn this radio around. It's feeding back on me. Okay, if they're black, I don't know whether they're starting from head or tail or whichever one, but if they're black, sometimes it'll be a little space of black, and then it'll be the reddish or the orange color again, and then be black again. What that determines, now from what I've heard now, don't quote me on this, if when it's black, that means we're going to have a real bad, in other words, bad weather.
Hmm.
And then whenever they come back to the amber color, it's going to be nice, you know. And then if they turn black again, we're going to have another bad skip.
So they change colors.
Where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I've heard now. I don't know how true this is. And another thing is you can watch the squirrels. Y'all can call me squirrely if you want to. But I noticed here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, starting on Friday, man, the squirrels got busy as everything. And they were getting nuts and whatever they could, and they were hiding in the ground, and they may be going to the nest. I haven't seen them. I haven't watched them real good, but I sit here and I watch them go by my window, and they're hiding them out here in my front yard. So we're going to have a bad winter from the prediction of the squirrels now.
The squirrels don't lie. Yeah, that's right. Squirrels are, you can always trust your neighborhood squirrels. Bill, thank you for calling. And I have also seen a lot of squirrels.
Well, squirrels have been busy all summer at my house, best I can tell. They've been toting tomatoes out of the garden since they started growing green ones on there back in the spring. That's not anything new at home, yeah.
Good morning. You're on the air with... Let's see here. I'm not sure what was happening there. We had some folks wanted to ask you something and welcome you back on the radio. Dwayne did... how long... we've been doing this. You're the first one who started the lawn and gardens.
20-something years, probably. Yeah, 20 or 21, maybe.
Long time.
About 4 or 5 years ago, you had your 15th, 16th anniversary, I think.
Yeah.
Doing the show, so it's probably been 20-plus years.
We started this, if I'm not mistaken, in May of
91. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. You're on WGNS with Dwayne Trail. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
We're doing great.
Okay. I would like to ask the weather predictor. I guess I could call him that.
The weather guru.
Better than some things.
Weather guru. That's okay. Now, people call, they talk about caterpillars and they talk about squirrels, but these little things, they're almost like mosquitoes that are coming up, almost like they're coming out of the earth. I don't know if you would call them mosquitoes. As far as I know, they don't bite, but there are billions of them coming, almost like when the sun hits it or if you disturb the grass. They do it by sound, or they do it, they just do it. Do they have anything to do with the weather? That's the first question.
Okay.
The second question is, a week ago today, I called about an almanac, and you said, well, I'm giving the almanac to people that call in with a question. My question was, when do I get my almanac? Are the almanacs still available? Because I'm going to be going into Murfreesboro today.
Come on by and pick one up. I got you down now.
Okay, my name is William.
Okay.
I'll be by sometime later on. But I wish I had it to where I could know more to ask Mr. Trail. But can you tell me about these little things that fly up out of the grass? And do they mean anything about the weather? I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
To the radio. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Have a great day. What about that?
I would tell William that almanac is very interesting and full of information about weather lore and how weather used to be predicted. Today, of course, we have the National Weather Service, regional weather centers, lots of local news stations that do a great job helping us with both timely and accurate information. But years ago, Bart, before we had weather forecasters and all this sophisticated equipment that's used today by our trained weather folks, people use signs of nature, mm-hmm. and that's where weather lore got its start. As far as insects are concerned, I don't recall hearing any weather lore about the insects that he mentioned, but there are a lot of insects that are connected with weather lore. If ants build their mounds high during the fall, if spiders build more nests or webs during the fall, that's supposed to be an indication of a colder winter to come.
All right.
If I just interject something there, it sounds like what he's referring to are in the evening, in the afternoon, when the sun gets out pretty good in the last few weeks. It's not been uncommon to see some big clouds of gnats. And we've had some calls there at the extension office about that.
What causes that? Just time of the year?
What causes it is other gnats. That's what causes it. But not so much as time of the year, I think, but weather conditions have a lot to do with it. And he's right; they come up out of the ground because they tend to breed in organic matter, in the damp organic matter in the ground, and they'll hang out there during the day and so on. But when it heats up and the sun gets on things, they tend to come out. I'm like Dwayne. I don't know that it has any significance or any association with impending weather, other than you're going to have more gnats when you've got high soil moisture content than when you have very dry soil conditions.
And any disturbance of that ground area,
yeah,
if you're walking
across there,
if a pet walks across it, it's going to cause them just to flush.
But and then a lot of times, though, they're going to be out, whether you walk or not, because you're going to see gnats out. And for most folks, it's not a problem. You can usually tell folks that are happy in gnat season because they'll have more on their teeth, because they're smiling real big and they get gnats on their teeth a lot. So if you see somebody with a lot of gnats on their teeth, odds are that they're a real happy
person. They're a real happy
person. Yeah, that's right.
It's
going to go away, though, so, don't worry about it. You talk about do they bite? Maybe they can, but for most folks, it's not an issue.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Be happy. Just smile and pick the gnats off your teeth.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dwayne Trail and Mitchell Moat.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask about the almanacs. Do you have them, sir?
We do. Did you have a question?
Well, I had a question, but it's about a garage sale.
That doesn't quite fit the...
right. I was hoping another phone would answer, because I was a question about the last lady that called in about a garage sale.
Okay.
Well, now, while you're at that garage sale, if you look to see how the spider webs are built, that might be an indication.
I am going to.
How bad the winter is when you look in the garage.
Well,
how much are your almanacs?
Well, we're going to give it to you just because you're listening. So,
thank you.
I have your name and phone number, at least the name your phone's listed to.
Right.
Down.
That's
and
exactly right.
Just come by and pick it up at your convenience.
Okay, and just check on the garage sale then, right?
Well, yeah, and we'll have that on the internet in just a minute, too.
I'm in my car.
Oh, okay. You can do both then.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. You have a nice day. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
You still there?
We're right here.
Okay. I was wanting to ask him if he knew about how much land rents for when somebody rents their land out for crops or livestock or anything like that, if he knows about the going rate per acre.
Okay. What about that? You run across that.
You answered the lead. Okay. Well, yeah, and there's not a pat answer for that, but as far as cropland is concerned, cropland for corn, soybeans, and so on, has a higher rent value now than it had a few years ago, simply because the price of those crops has gone up, and a lot of it has to do with the land. How well it's what it's been, what the use has been prior to today, how it's been maintained, the way the land lays in terms of slope and soil depth and so on. But it can be anywhere, land for cropland rent, it can be probably anywhere from $80 to $100 to $150 per acre. That's kind of the range you expect to see it running. Maybe in some more marginal land, it might even be a little bit less than that. As far as pasture land is concerned, you're going to see considerably less rent being charged per acre on that. You're going to be probably in the $20 to $30 range, again depending on is there water available, how much fence is there, how much work to bring it back up to speed will the renter have to do if they do rent that and try to graze some cattle on it. So it's going to be a lot of variation on that. But as far as pasture rent, you're talking somewhere in the $20-$30 per acre range. As far as crop rent, depending on the land, where it is, and the kind of shape it's in, it could be probably in the $80 to $150 an acre range.
All righty. 893-1450. We're going to continue in just a moment. We're going to check right now, though, on the traffic and weather. We'll be back, and Dwayne Trail will have his folklore winter forecast based on spider webs, woolly worms, fogs in August, you name it. We're going to cover it all right here on WGNS.
Talking about your favorite teams every afternoon. This is George Plaster. Join me for Sports Night weekdays 3 to 6 here on WGNS.
Right now at Ford of Murfreesboro, you can get a 2012 Ford Explorer with low financing rates. For well-qualified buyers, you can drive away in a new Explorer for 0.9% financing for 36 months. The new Ford Explorer is one of the top SUVs in its class. It's sleek, roomy, and efficient. Test drive your new Ford Explorer at Ford of Murfreesboro today at the corner of Broad and Northfield Boulevard. Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
For over 130 years, the family at Bell Jewelers have been making dreams come true. And all this month, you get a free pink leather Pandora bracelet honoring Breast Cancer Awareness Month if you spend $85 or more over at Bell Jewelers on Pandora charms and jewelry. That's right. Just another way to say thank you for shopping at Bell Jewelers. 821 Northwest Broad, right across from Toots. That's October only at Bell Jewelers.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. A couple of accidents causing us a little bit of a problem this morning. Murfreesboro Pike at Borrowwood Drive. That's in the clearing stages. Also want to remind you, I-24 West, this is the main...
All righty. Well, let's check on the latest in weather information brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro. I don't know what happened to Randy there.
For the forecast area, plenty of sunshine, highs in the low 80s, while the light south-southeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Currently 57.
Thank you, Mandy. This weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back, and we're hearing the folklore winter forecast from Dwayne Trail. And before we take any more phone calls, we've got a full line of people wanting to talk to you, Dwayne. But before we take any more calls, let's get back to that folklore forecast. Otherwise, we will be out of time and not know what the folklore forecast is. So let's get back to what your different information has been.
Well, let me go back to one of the comments that was made earlier on the radio when the gentleman called in about the color of the woolly worms.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard exactly what he expressed on our program earlier this morning. But I've also heard a different theory, if you will. There are, in fact, woolly worms that have different colors, Bart. Some are rust orange, some are black, some are white. And these woolly worms, as they go through the different stages in their life cycle, turn into different moths. The woolly worm that is a part of the weather lore prediction, if I can use that term, is what we call the banded woolly worm, and that is neither the black nor the solid brown woolly worm. This is a woolly worm that has black hair on both ends and a band in its middle that is rust orange. And that's the one really that folks look to when they're talking about winter weather, and they say that if you see lots of those crawling during the fall, if they have heavy hair coats, if you see them crawling before the first killing frost, and especially if those black bands on each end show more color than the center rust orange band, that's an indication of colder weather. And based on everything that we have talked about generally as far as plants, insects, and other weather lore predictors, it looks like we could have a colder winter. I always base my prediction, though, Bart, on the woolly worm. And I have seen so many woolly worms out this year. Their hair coats have been thicker than what is, I think, normal. Do have, and the ones we have, for an example, in the station this morning, have more total black than they do orange. And so I'm thinking this year that we will have below normal temperatures and a colder winter compared to what is normal.
There you go. The woolly worm forecast, below normal weather temperatures. That means bundle up.
I've already got my hat, gloves, sweaters out.
Got all your firewood stacked up.
Got my firewood stacked up, Mitchell. I'm ready for the cold weather.
Okay, got the flue all cleaned out, the stove painted up, ready to go.
So there you heard it. Colder than normal winter. Now let's move on, because cold weather is one thing, and colder than normal, I think people are ready for that. What about that white stuff?
Oh, goodness. You know, one thing we haven't heard this morning is from those folks that typically call in to tell us how many fogs they saw in August.
Yeah, now all the lines are full, people waiting to talk to you. We're just sort of holding them off until we hear more of you. I didn't want us to run out of time.
Well, you know, what they typically say is that for every fog that you have in August, you can count on a snow at some point during the winter months. And of course, a lot of people think that during the fall, when you have that first hard freeze, that's the beginning of winter. But officially, winter doesn't begin until the 22nd of December.
Just right,
so
before
we've
Christmas.
Still
mm-hmm.
got several weeks to go before we get into that winter period. But I did see a few fogs in August, not as many as maybe in the past, but I think we're going to have some snow. I wouldn't venture to guess how many, but I think we're going to see some snow this year, along with that colder winter weather, and certainly some extended periods with below freezing temperatures. Again, I'm staying right with the woolly worm, and he's telling me with his hair coat that we need to be ready.
Yeah, he's solid color. And these are local Rutherford County woolly worms.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Probably endangered myself, Mitchell, stopping on the side of the road to pick these up.
Well,
actually, I should give my wife credit, because we went out looking the other day to see if we could get, sure enough, some woolly worms to bring in.
Yes.
And I was driving along, and I'd stop, and she'd hop out and grab a woolly worm, you know, and then we'd get back on the road and take off.
Well, Dwayne, you got a good wife. You have a good wife, Dwayne. They'll go out and help you find woolly worms like that.
Well, she...
there's a saying about that, though.
Oh, if there's not, there ought to be. There ought to be a country song.
The family that collects woolly worms together stays together.
Absolutely. That one. Absolutely.
That's, yeah, he won her heart with woolly worms or something.
After
like
42
that.
Years, we're still going strong.
All the right. Woolly worms kept us together. Okay, so we're saying colder than normal winter. Colder than normal winter because of the woolly worms. We're talking about some snows. What else have you come across?
Well, typically colder temperature, snow, that's what most everybody is interested in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Youngsters especially, they're after those days when they can miss school.
And you figure if you're going to have snow, you got to have moisture to do that. So you would anticipate it being at least more normal towards rainfall, moisture, yeah. You know, wetness as far as winter goes.
Right.
And with it being colder, that means a chance of ice, too.
Yep.
And, you know, Bart, I'm not sure that folks aren't ready for this. You know, last year we predicted a mild winter, something mm-hmm. warmer than what is normal, and certainly that was the case. In fact, a lot of people went through last winter thinking, did we really have winter
mild.
Weather? It was so mild. But I think we're going to see a difference in temperatures, and I think we'll have a different feeling at the end of this winter.
Well, I think you have made Raleigh Holden a happy man.
He'll be ordering sleds if he hadn't already done
he
so.
He already has them.
Oh, okay. Showing the sleds, yeah.
Good.
So, and we need them, too.
Absolutely.
We need those sleds. What else do you have there? The woolly worms are really moving around quickly now.
They are moving around, and I would just, you know, encourage folks to, again, if they have an interest in weather lore, to maybe purchase an almanac or see if they can end up with a free one from the station here, because the information in there is interesting, and it's interesting to me just to look at that information and to see how it plays out as the months go by during winter, so that you can see if those forecasts that are actually made in the almanac are true.
Well, let's take another call here while we're talking about woolly worms and fogs in August and things of that sort. Maybe some of the listeners have charted the fogs in August. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell and Dwayne.
Good morning, Bart. It's Alexandra.
Hey, how are you today?
Hey, doing well. Really enjoying the show. I just wondered what the frogs would predict for you. How do you predict the weather with the frogs? Thank you.
Okay. What about, and we've got your cell number down, so you can come by and pick up your almanac. Okay, what about that?
She did say frogs. Did I?
Frogs.
Frogs. Frogs, okay.
Or if you have something on frogs, too.
I must be getting older, Bart.
I thought she said fog also, but I'm sure she meant fog.
No, the saying is that if you have a given number of fogs during the month of August, that you're going to have that many snows during the winter period. Mm-hmm. And there have been years when we have actually tracked those number of fogs that we had in August. And interestingly enough, we lots of times saw that same number of snows. It doesn't work out every year, but again, one of the lore predictors is that if you have a given number of fogs during the month of August, you can count on that many snows during the winter. So if you can think back to the number of fogs that you saw during August, it'll be interesting as we go through the winter to see if it works out.
Now, we have been tracking Dwayne's forecast over the years, and you have been extremely accurate. But then these are the things that the farmers used to use decades ago. I mean, when, like you said, when we didn't have the National Weather Service.
Signs of nature, and I guess the feeling was, who better than Mother Nature to tell us what she has in store? A lot of people tend to, laugh that off as anything of real significance or importance, and I would always say we need to listen to our local news folks because they provide accurate and timely information. But again, years ago, before we had weather stations and the sophisticated equipment that's used today, people used signs of nature. They used insects. They used plants. They used other things like the number of fogs during August to tell them what was in store. And there are some other things that we typically hear about, Bart. Lots of folks will say the louder the katydid sing in August, and the bigger the blizzards you're going to have in December.
I'd have never
they
heard
also
that.
Say
Man,
that
that's bad
if you
news.
Hear katydid singing on a given day 3 months later or 90 days later, you can count on the first killing frost. Now, that happens to be a predictor that did not work out this year, because I had someone tell me a few weeks ago that they heard their first katydid singing on the 8th of July.
So loud,
that would mean we should have had a killing frost about the 8th of October, which obviously didn't occur. But there are a lot of those predictors out there.
And, you know, Dwayne, when people relied on those, in order for them to make those predictions, you know, they had to pay attention to the things going on around them. They had to pay attention to the environment, to the weather, and you know, that's one thing that when I say weather, to the conditions going on around them, and then to notice relationships between the color of woolly worm hair versus the temperatures and number of fogs versus number of snows. And I think that's one reason that people are interested in that today is simply because, you know, we don't live that way anymore, where we pay attention to that sort of thing. And, you know, obviously if we're not out working outside and on a daily basis, then we don't have the opportunity to be as in tune with it as we once did. So that's, you know, a way to connect back.
That's
to
a way of
that's,
life.
That's an opinion anyway.
That's a
opinion.
Way of life gone by.
It is. Absolutely it is.
Now, how much...
It causes us to think that maybe we should slow down a bit today and take a little more notice about what's happening around us.
It makes us, you know, a yearning. It's a little bit nostalgic there.
You mentioned earlier about the thickness of animals' hair.
Right.
How much credibility could we put into, say, our dogs or cats if they're outdoor animals, the thickness of their hair?
Well, one of the lore predictors is if animals have thicker hair coats, that is nature's way of providing more warmth for them through the winter, and that in itself is a sign that we'll have colder weather approaching. So if you have a pet with thicker hair going into the winter, that to me would say there may be colder weather approaching.
You look at domesticated animals, farm animals, that you know, obviously we're taking care of them, providing a lot for their needs, but now their hair is going to change.
Have you noticed anything?
Oh, I mean, it does. I mean, it is natural. For instance, goats, they'll begin to put on the cashmere, the real fine, it's very fine, light textured hair. that sheds water. It acts like an insulator, and it's triggered by changes in day length. They'll start to form that hair up in September, and you'll see cattle that their hair will get thicker and they'll take on a woolly appearance. You know, horses will do the same thing, and maybe even more so with wild animals because you know they have not been domesticated. But nature takes care of things.
Without looking, you might overlook or not notice this occurrence.
Sure.
But it does in fact happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, if you don't see the same critter on a regular basis, you don't know if it's thicker than, you know, his hair's thicker than
sure.
it was 2 months ago or not. But
well, let's take another call here. You're on WGNS with Dwayne Trail.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question, please. I was raised in the country and we was always taught that before you could eat the walnuts that the frost had to fall on them. Do you know anything about that? Because I'm being told now that it's not true.
Okay. Well, and by the way, we've got you down now for one of these Farmer's Almanacs. So come by and pick it up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. What about that, Dwayne?
I think you can eat walnuts at any point. You don't necessarily have to wait until a hard freeze occurs, but I will say that that hard freeze may have a lot to do with how easy those walnuts are to get out of the shell.
How easy they are to husk, yeah.
Right, and it may, you know, from that standpoint, it might have something to do with your needing to wait until we have that first hard freeze. It's pretty hard to get those husks off anytime, Mitchell. I remember growing up as a kid, we used to lay walnuts out in our driveway.
Lay them in the driveway and put a sheet of plywood over them and drive back and forth to break the husk.
Yeah, to break the husk. And even after doing that, you still had some walnuts that you didn't completely clean and had to go back and do that again or wait a while.
You could usually tell by looking at someone's hands if they had been husking walnuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was always that black spot in our driveway at the end of every season after we had taken the husk off walnuts and brought them to sale.
I wonder if it's possibly the caller might even be maybe getting some things, you know, confused in memory because that's always been the story with persimmons.
Mm-hmm.
You would not eat a persimmon until after it had been frosted on. Well, you don't ever want to eat a green persimmon. Well, I know you might want to. Some folks like anything. But a green persimmon is certainly is a gastric experience, I think.
Well, I tell you, since you brought up persimmons, we will be back with the persimmon report after we check the weather. In addition to the persimmon report, I mean, we're the only station in town that has a persimmon report this morning. In addition to that, we're going to be checking the corn husk and see how that is. Stay with us.
I'd like to have the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS, The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10. Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
If you need a bedroom set, come to Bell Furniture. Perhaps you're looking for a sleeper sofa, a recliner, or sectional sofa. They're half price at Bell Furniture. Beautiful leather recliners and lift chairs. First quality, name brand furniture, half price every day with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517, the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's all American-made.
WeatherEye.
With a forecast area, plenty of sunshine, highs in the low 80s, while the light south-southeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Currently 57.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. Don't forget, this is the perfect time of year to help those lawns. We have all the grass seed and lawn care that you would need. We also have a new clothing line in. We have some of the Under Armour clothing. It's also the great time of year for you to start thinking about those Christmas gifts, so come visit us at our gift department. And also, don't forget your little feathered and furry friends. We have a great bird and pet department. Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
There's going to be an absolute auction this Saturday. 51 beautiful acres selling in four tracks out at 2925 Coleman Hill Road. If you have driven around at all, if you've lived in the area at all, I know you're familiar with Coleman Hill Road, the rolling hills, the beautiful area. What a place for a dream home where you can enjoy nature. What a place if you enjoy watching wildlife. What a place if you enjoy hunting. What a place if you enjoy horses. All of this can come true for you in this auction this Saturday morning at 10:30. 51 beautiful acres in four tracks. Track number one has 14 acres, number two has 10 acres, number three has 11 acres, and track number four has 16 acres. They all are perkable, and they all have city water right there at the front of the land. So make it a point to be there. 2925 Coleman Hill Road at 10:30 this Saturday morning, as these beautiful lands, 51 beautiful acres, will be selling at an absolute auction. And Larry Sims and David Gilliam, they're the ones in charge. If you have any questions, call Sims Realty. And again, that time, 10:30 Saturday morning, 2925 Coleman Hill Road.
Middle Tennessee football and basketball games are right here. This is Chip Walters on Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Let's go Blue! It's always open, you come anytime you want, yeah.
We're back again. Gonna have the persimmon report now, as well as the corn husk report. All of these vital ingredients. As far as the folklore winter forecast, the folklore guru, Dwayne Trail, with us. A couple of decades plus visiting with us. I mean, he has this thing down pat. What about the persimmons?
Bart, what they typically say is that if you cut into the seed of a persimmon from the narrow side and look at that kernel, you will see one of three shapes. The shape of either a spoon, fork, or knife. And they say that if you see the spoon shape, that's an indication that you will have a harsh winter with heavy, wet snow. They say that if you see the fork shape, you look for a mild winter with light, powdery snow. And that if you see the knife shape, you should expect a cold, icy winter with cutting winds. I did not, or have not at this point, looked at a persimmon this season. In years past, I have done that. In fact, we have looked at some of those when we had our winter weather forecast here on the station. And it's interesting how, yes, if you cut into that kernel, you can see one of those three shapes. It is, of course, important, I think, to wait until fall to try that, because the flesh around those seed is pretty difficult to get off.
Mm-hmm. Wait till they change color, get that nice orange color.
To it almost looks like a miniature pumpkin, doesn't it?
Yeah, they got that kind of a faded orange coloration.
And but the seeds are really much easier to get out then. And I would suggest that if you decide to try this, you have to be really careful. It's awfully easy to let a knife slip and maybe cut a finger And that's one of the reasons I seldom do that anymore. But it is, in fact, true that when you cut through that seed, the kernel, at least in all the cases when I've done it, had one of those three shapes, a spoon, a fork, or a knife. And lore does suggest that that tells a difference in what winter weather is going to be like.
So now, what about the corn husk? How do they fit in?
Well, just like the hair coat on animals, if you have thicker husk on corn or more of those husk or shucks, that's an indication of colder weather. And Mitchell, I don't know this year if we could use that as
a
predictor.
Oh, that's a fair indicator, yeah, this year.
We had such a hot, dry period during the early part of summer. Lots of producers did something different with their crops.
The commercial corn crop was a failure.
Yeah. In years when we've had good growing seasons, people did typically look at the corn ears, and if those shucks were thicker, if you had more cover around that ear of corn, that was supposed to be an indication of colder weather. And it's interesting, I guess, to note that when you talk with different people, everybody has one or two weather predictors that they use. It's either the woolly worm, or it's the fur on the coat of animals, or it is the number of berries on trees, or the nut crop. Some people will use maybe a combination of two or three of those.
We have time for one more call before we have our total forecast wrap up here. You're on WGNS with Dwayne Trail.
Yes, sir. The moon, when I'm interested in the input that might have, it rules or has a control over the ocean, about two-thirds of the world is water. Human is about two-thirds of liquid, and a couple other things. But anyway, moon, people either, it controls intelligence, according to some studies of state.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear, and also the big star, the sun, mm-hmm. on what you might have to say about that.
Okay, and let me get your first name, because nothing showed up when we got your information here.
Oh, okay. My first name is Don.
Don, okay. Don, come on by the station and get your free Farmer's Almanac. Thanks for calling. What about the moon? What do you have on that?
You know, Bart, I'm not familiar with any specific weather indicators related to the moon. Now, there may in fact be some, but I'm just not familiar with them. I know the almanac talks a lot about the moon, the signs, and how this impacts planting and other things. But as far as the moon itself and its different positions being an indicator of weather, I'm not familiar if that's the case.
Okay, we have about 15 seconds left, almost out of time. In a couple of sentences, what is your folklore forecast?
Absolutely, based on the number of worms I've seen crawling around, the thickness of their hair coat, the black that covers more of their body than the orange color, we're going to have below normal temperatures this year, and it will be a colder winter than we've experienced in the past.
There you have it. Dwayne Trail's official folklore winter forecast. Get those winter clothes ready. We're going to need them. Dwayne and Mitchell, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Check our website a little bit later this morning. You'll have all of this information on the website. Have a great day.